Alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on Roman numeral 9, page 5 of your notes. Once again, this is the usual opportunity and routine for the approach to the Word of God. The approach to the Word of God requires that the believer in Jesus Christ be in fellowship in order to understand and appreciate spiritual information. This is one of the reasons why some believers have not done well around here, because they did not get in here and get in fellowship and give the communication of the Word of God their undivided attention. And that, over time, takes a toll. So this is your responsibility to be where you need to be spiritually during the communication of the information in front of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we assemble ourselves under the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. We thank you for this opportunity and everything you continue to provide us with in time, so that we can be here in these days in which we find ourselves. Bless us with regard to this information in Christ's name. Amen. Hindrances to effective prayer. Prayer is not automatic. There are things that are hindrances or completely shut down the whole idea behind the exercise of engaging in prayer. The scripture that is used here has to do with, in context, lack of domestic tranquility, if you will. That your prayers may not be hindered. This is dealing with the husband-wife relationship, the concept of treating the wife as the weaker vessel, and recognizing that lack of domestic harmony can hinder and frustrate prayer. So that's something to keep tabs on and be sure that you are not in a state of conflict with your opposite number. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but go along with things that are erroneous, but not contribute to the unrest and problems within the home environment. Basic carnality. The psalmist says in Psalm 66:18, "If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So again, that emphasizes being in fellowship, being in the will of God with regard to wrong content, obviously. The content has to be right. Proverbs 28:9. Now, this is what this actually is dealing with somebody who is praying, but is, in this case, has blown off the truth. Quit listening. They've quit listening to the truth. Either they're not here, or they are here and they're not listening. Either way. So it is an extreme. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So he may go through the motion of prayer, but he has quit listening to the marching orders for Israel in the age of Israel. The law of Moses. He quits listening. He quits paying attention to it. Well, that obviously, God is not pleased at all with that person, even though they are praying. Whatever, even if their content was on board with things, their prayer is an abomination to God. So that would be prayer. So that would be based on wrong content or wrong motivation, wrong intent. James 4:3. Problems that could be corrected abounded among these Jewish Christians living in the land to which James wrote them, because he was the original leader of the Jerusalem church. So he acts in an apostolic capacity by writing this letter to the churches based on information that had come to him, as a corrective and an encouragement for them to get where they needed to be. The two letters in the New Testament that are devoted to this group of believers, this and Hebrews. He says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? The ultimate source, the root cause, in other words. Is not the source your passions that wage war in your members? In other words, they were letting their sin natures and the things that were being denied them fuel their sin nature grid, particularly with regard to material things. Anyone had among them, it was a common thing that if anyone seemed to have an advantage or an advantage economically, they were jealous. And it caused friction among these believers. And petty conflicts and quarrels. All tied to your pleasures that wage war in your members. When you're under economic distress, like they were, due to persecution, due to perhaps economic conditions, due to general depression of economies due to weather and other factors. You are envious and cannot obtain. Who are they envying? Well, I suppose one another. And they're being frustrated. They can't get where they want to be. So you fight and quarrel. Sometimes the root cause is not as obvious to people. It's the envy grid, which puts you out of fellowship with other people, and you can't appreciate and relax about whatever advantages they may have. You do not have because you do not ask. We'll get to that in a minute. You ask and do not receive. There is a case where they're praying for something, because you ask with wrong motives. Again, always judging our motivations for asking for materialistic things, and so forth. What's your motives? So that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, he's pretty hard on these believers, but they're really acting up. They're maladjusted to the corporate test that they're under. And when they see another believer getting ahead or doing well or appearing to do so, they resent that and not recognize, well, maybe God's blessed them and that's fine. Not anywhere close to rejoicing with those that rejoice. Hey, I got a job. It's doing well, considering. They didn't want to hear that. They did not want to hear that. And this also leads to other problems, wrong associations, dropping the ball on the doctrine of separation. establishing relationships with those outside the church, maybe looking for an advantage there, all that stupid stuff. You don't look to the world. So he calls them adulteresses because the church is feminine. He said this is a form of adultery. Your relationship with the outside world. And you're cozying up to them. That's all that it could possibly mean. Because he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? You can't have it both ways. Friendship with the world means liaisons, tying yourself socially and other ways with those outside the pale of positive volition. A doctrine, it's right here. Oh, I can do that. You know, so there's another breakdown. They needed to know that they were at odds with God. And I've seen it in my history. Believers began to have relationships with those outside Bible doctrine. At various levels. I could see when they were deteriorating, they went that way. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the cosmos makes himself an enemy of God. The cosmos is out there. It's what it is. And establishing these type of relationships puts the believer on the wrong side of God. So, another aspect of breakdown is if you're praying for something and you're doubting simultaneously, then that's a breakdown. Everything is supposed to be sponsored by faith. Trust in God. You pray believing, not doubting, just going through the motions of praying. So if you're having that trouble, you can break out of it, get yourself where you need to be, and pray by faith. Ask God to help you with that. Help my faith. Help me be strong and pray like I'm supposed to pray, without doubting, with confidence, as it says elsewhere. Coming with confidence before God's throne of grace, and let your request be made known to God. Lay it out there. Whatever it is. So, lack of faith, James 1, 5 and 8 here. Well, the first verse is, the whole section is, these believers were being tested. Every individual has his own set of tests at any given time. But there was a corporate test that they were under. I've specified what it is. It basically was economic hardship. And that was brought on by what I said. As Jewish Christians, they were persona non grata in their society. And so he is still working with these people because there's hope. If they're listening to his letter, there's hope. They can repent of this nonsense and get their thinking straight. It's easy enough to do. Okay, I've been wrong about all this. My attitude sucks. I run around jealous and have these little pathetic arguments with other believers. And I need to knock all that off and get my eyes off of that and on God and His will and plan for my life as it stands right now in time. Things can upset you spiritually that aren't going, quote, the way you would like them to go. Join the club. When things are all going your way, okay, happy and everything. Things don't go your way and all this begins to happen, you need to stay where you are and not let it upset you. Okay, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. It could be on any topic about wisdom, about insight into God's word, into his will for your life, at whatever level. He gives to all generously and without reproach. And of course, that's one area where you can absolutely bet that God is going to respond favorably if you're asking honestly for insight and wisdom on any topic. You can pray for your prayer content. Are there things I'm not praying for, I need to pray for, even in your own self-interest? For me, for you. Are there things I'm not praying for that could happen to me in a positive way that I am not praying about? Situations. How do I handle this situation? So don't go off half-cocked. Let your emotions dictate how you're going to handle it. How would the Lord handle it? How would he handle this situation I'm up against? Maybe it's do nothing. Just leave it with God. He doesn't need our help. He will deal with individuals. But you want it to turn out a certain way. That isn't how you should approach it. I know that. Yes, we want things to turn out a certain way. God does too, but he has to deal with volition, and so do you have to recognize people's volition. And if they're going through a bad period, sometimes you just have to faith rest it. And let God work on them. He's worked on them in the past, maybe. Got their attention. They're acting stupid. They're not here. Or whatever. I've sat up here and I've looked at somebody. Night after night, day after day. Why does that person look miserable all the time? I mean, I understand that there's pressures in life and you don't have to come in here with a big, fundy smile on your face and all the rest of it. I understand that. But why do they look so... They weren't like that in yesteryear. Something's going on. Something is going on. And one of the things is something didn't work out like they wanted it in their life, and they became embittered. The root of bitterness. Why is she like that? Her whole expression, it looks like she's not enjoying any of this, but she's here. There's something wrong somewhere, spiritually, within her, that she isn't coming to grips with. She's building her happiness on something that hasn't panned out. It could be anything. Children who fail spiritually. Grown-up children that fail spiritually. There's nothing you can do with them. I've been there. I've done that. I prayed anything could be done to get their attention. I do that with everybody. People I know, people I don't know. God does what he has to do. I had to go hands off. I didn't run around and try to help and do something for someone else and convince them of the error of their way. So if it's a child, it's painful, but it's what you go through. We study these examples in the Bible. You can't make them positive. You can't make them do the right thing. They're adults. Well, they're going to ruin everything. Yes, that's possible. It's possible. They're going to trash everything that's meaningful in life. They don't get their act together. Put them with the Lord. Let him work with them. If they're a believer, okay. That's, in my case, a believer. Okay, I got that much. I'm grateful for that. I'm glad it's not an Esau. It's a believer. So, put him in God's hands. Like everybody else out there. And you're going to have some peace about it. Well, it's for this reason I'm doing it. For this reason, you need to look into it. Again, God's going to take care of things the way people's volition operate. I know it's sad. I know it's no fun. But you cannot fix certain people. Try as you may. You can't fix them. I know. Others know too. They have to come to grips with the situation, and then you can be there to help and encourage. But other than that, you're up against a stone wall. Their volition and what they want to do. It isn't your fault. It's on them. Again, have some comfort in the fact we don't have much time left. So he'll pull all these believers out of here and straighten them out that way. Because I don't want you being miserable over these kind of things. Dragging yourself down over somebody's bad conduct and behavior. Other people here have children. They basically walked away from them. And they're letting God deal with them if they're ever going to come to their senses. You say, well, they're probably not. Well, probably not. Odds are, no, that's not good. Odds are not good. You're taking odds. So there's so many things we can ask God for wisdom on. Basic understanding of a doctrine in the Bible, like the flat earth. Give me insight. I want to understand this stuff. Or it could be just like I illustrated. It hit me again. What are things I'm not asking for? I'm not smart enough to ask for. So that's where I have to depend on the Holy Spirit to lead my thought processes. Show me things I need to ask for, I'm not. And get on with it. So God gives all to generosity without reproach. Again, He isn't going to badmouth you because you and I were a dummy or didn't have this, or you should have, maybe, whatever. He's not into that. You get your act together in an area, we're not going to reproach you for your past actions. I'm not even going to go near that. I ain't going to bring it up again. Well, you remember when you did? No. It's without reproach. Act like God does. You should have got that figured out a long time ago. No, you don't even go there. You don't jam them after they've come around. Without reproach. And it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith. Without any doubting. Not a little bit of doubt. No. What, if you can launch a prayer, a successful launch, and you can get it to the throne of grace without it being undermined by doubting, I really don't think God can do or would do or all the business. Look at all the things He's done for believers. Yes, we all have to bow to, not my will, but yours be done. Without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's pretty extreme. Now, that's an extreme case. The guy that just absolutely doesn't believe it, but he goes through the motions for whatever reasons. He's not one that just quits praying. He prays, but he doesn't believe in this dynamic. He isn't caught up in this, recognizing God will do these things. Well, it's too big of a thing. It's this or it's that. Come on. Forget all of that. He is a God who works miracles. He can pull out anything and make it work for somebody. But that's what you have to figure out as a believer priest. This type of person in the extreme is double-minded. Talks God, and then he's unstable, and he falls on his face in all his ways. Least little thing throws him off base. If everything just doesn't go perfect, he thinks, oh, God isn't answering. And so he's just in this flux all the time. So lack of faith. Well, I gave you this one in the beginning, lack of domestic harmony. And basically, if you study the context carefully, the context deals with, on the one hand, the wife is not to be an individual who is constantly pigeonholing her husband about his lack of spiritual interest in the plan of God. Of course you love him. Of course you want to come to church and be with him and everything. That's normal. But if it isn't happening, you just witness to him by your silent actions. Let him run under his STA. Let him make a fool of himself. Let him say what he says and does. And you humble yourself under that and you keep doing what you got to do. Because your eyes are on God. You're not doing things as unto him. You're doing it as unto the Lord. And if he's unreasonable or he's this way or that way, you just soldier on. And who knows? One of these days, you know, Peter says, they'll see you. They'll see the change in you. They'll see that you're not that woman maybe before, where you all flew off the handle or whatever you did to buck his authority. He will see that. Plus, she's got the protection that God will deal with him. God can hit him where it hurts. And maybe the dummy can connect the dots and back off, at least, if not come around spiritually. Yeah, it takes humility to do that. My wife was right. What's so hard about saying so-and-so is right? Because she's a woman? Even a child can give you the divine viewpoint, who's informed. David in his youth, I mean, he was way ahead of a bunch of these other people because he thought about these things. He meditated on these things. We would say he read his Bible. He had a lot of time to himself out there with those sheep. And he had a job to do, but he also had time to meditate and reflect and get away from people and think about the plan of God and the details of it. Not a lot of that goes on today with people. Because they're caught up in all the distractions in the cosmos. Who won the big game? Who do you think's going to win? You get 5 steps out of Bible class and that's what people are consumed with talking about. And these things are all what they are. Vanity. Emptiness. I've had to fight it too. Understand, I'm not up here just pretending to be all over and everything. I have to do it too. And when you start failing to do these things, you start probably have spiritual problems. When you're caught up in perfectly legitimate things, but they begin to consume you and occupy your thinking. It can be anything, as innocent as it may seem. But there in that passage of 1 Peter 3:7, it's lack of domestic harmony. And this is due to the husband's lack of understanding towards the weaker vessel. There was like, you know, once some males learned that he was the authority, then they start acting inappropriately. You know, one, she's your wife. She's a weaker vessel. She's a woman. You got to be patient with her. She isn't going to please you every minute. You don't please God every minute. You've got to let God deal with her as she does with you. And you got to be willing to know what to overlook. You want absolute obedience every minute. You can forget it. You are in for a rude awakening. Even if you pick the cream of the crop, you're in for a rude awakening. If you think that it's just going to be always this way, I'm the authority, and you crack the whip and all the rest of it. Yes, sometimes you have to remind people that you're in charge. They do it judiciously. Just don't do it all the time. Just like the other. In your mind, God will deal with her. I can rag on her and talk and all this business. I like God. And same thing as I illustrated with a husband. God will deal with him. He's treating you unfairly, neglecting you and various things. He will deal with him. And he'll hit him where he hurts. Could be his pocketbook. Could be his health. Who knows? And of course, this is another one. Under the general doctrine of forgiveness, we are to forgive as Christ forgives. Do Do you have someone in here you don't forgive? Don't raise your hand. Your offenses are going to come. Somebody is going to do something that's offensive to you. In the royal family, shock, isn't it? Oh, what a shock. There's no shock. Offenses will come, and you are going to take the brunt of somebody's STA. So lack of forgiveness is a killer. It's a killer to the Christian life. Ask God to free you from any of that at all, so that you can forgive as Christ forgave, and you can forget about it and move on. If you can't, you're tied up. You want to be forgiven, presumably, by God for your sins, don't you? When you offer up that rebound prayer for the 90th time in a given day, do you expect God to forgive you instantly, don't you? Somebody told me about their father once, and that this son would exhort his father. His father was a very generous man. He'd give you the shirt off his back. I knew him in the day. I liked him a lot. But his son reported to me after his father had left the church that if you crossed him, it was like the elephant. He never forgot it. And he would exhort his father and plead with his father, "This isn't right." Yeah, but see, it's lack of forgiveness, holding a grudge. Free yourself from it. Free yourself. The STA is a horrible thing. We all have one. Again, simply because you do not ask. How many things are denied us as believers because we will not pray about them? Now, some things don't come instantly. Some things require knocking and persisting. But you don't give up on it. Keep it on your prayer list. Throw it out there. And ask God, if I'm not supposed to be praying for this, make it clear to me. Or if it's another way or another thing, fine. And again, close to the other one, lack of compassion. Compassion is one of the fruit of the Spirit, of course, and having compassion for people. When they fail, when they get into difficulty, well, you were a dummy, you did that. You have to know how to, you can be firm with people. This is what got you in trouble. Try and, now, would you come to the aid of someone if you could and you had the resources and they were put in front of you? He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. Well, we don't want to go there. No way. And that was what I think I emphasized on Sunday. You want insurance for good things in your life down the road when hard times come? Here's the insurance policy you can tie into. Be generous, willing to help, willing to give, whatever it is, materially or otherwise, for whoever God puts in front of you. Pray, God, don't let me drop the ball. If somebody, I can help somebody with food or money or any number of things, help me not to drop the ball. Keep me aware of this at all times, so that if I can help somebody in a difficult situation, I will step up and I will do it. Because this is insurance for the future. God remembers your deeds, those good deeds that you've done, and it'll come back to you. Remember? Cast your bread on many waters, and in due time, it will come back to you. It may be years in a special way. You'll never maybe understand that the two are connected, but they are connected. Some things to avoid, obvious stuff. Traditional lingo. All this stuff that's easy to debunk. I mean, the these and the thous of the Bible are not Holy Scripture. They're just an English translation of of back in the day when they had to have special pronouns to address God, which they came up with thou, and you is sufficient. Vain repetitions, I gave you that one. Long drawn out prayers of the clergy, show off prayers, long drawn out stuff. Well, the Pharisees did this. They were pathetic. They were show offs. Praying on the corners, long prayers, empty as they could be. They got their reward. The people that were stupid like them would balk about, oh, look how holy he is. So don't be impressed with any of that stuff. And one great thing that you always have to keep in front of you, or I do, and that is the fact that the Holy Spirit makes total sense out of our prayers. When we feel under the pressure and under the gun that we just can't articulate due to the pain or the difficulty of the situation, recognize that the Holy Spirit is assists you. That's His role in the prayer process. Aside from being in fellowship and being led of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes all of our prayers and cleans them up, if you will, edits them, adds to them what needs to be added. So when you're praying, as in Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. See, so we do have a weakness when it comes to prayer. Lack of information, insight, how should I be praying for this? Some people get overboard with it. Well, I got to form this prayer just right or it might boomerang on me. No, it's not. God knows your intent. He knows your intent. Well, you should have probably added that because that happened to you. No. He causes all things. He helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. This indicates content. Now, some things, there's no problem with the content. Got straightforward. Father, continue to provide me with my living grace. Thank you for all my living grace and all the extras you give me that I don't need technically. I technically don't need all that for body and soul to be together and be in Bible class. But thank you for the living grace and the above and beyond stuff. That is pretty straightforward. You might occasionally be grateful for certain things, specific things. It sounds silly, maybe. You're consuming or using a product or benefiting by some technology or something, and you see it, thank you. It doesn't take any time to have in your mentality that you're thankful for that. That it continues to be supplied to you. I mean, you survive perhaps if it was cut off from you, but you're thankful for it. We do not know how to pray as we should. That shouldn't discourage you. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He puts groanings into a prayer content. What you would say if you could, if you were capable of it. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, according to God, according to His standard. So He takes up the slack where we lack all the pertinent facts in a situation. Or it's just so much pressure on our soul at the time. He perfects the prayer, brings a complete and accurate petition to the throne of grace. Even our most intense groaning is translated into perfect prayer. The prayers of the Holy Spirit, if you will, are preconditioned by searching each one's heart. He knows what your motives are. He knows if they're pure. He knows if they're on track. So He polishes every true prayer and presents it to God the Son, who in turn intercedes before the Father. It's a mysterious thing. It obviously is a mysterious thing. Concluding remarks and exhortations. Prayer Like all divine good, prayer is divine good, by the way. You're producing divine good to boot while you're praying. Falls under the dictum, action with honor. Prayer is a royal imperative with which we are to be devoted to. Romans 12:12, devoted to prayer. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer. Make it a big part of your life. Maybe you have a shoddy prayer life right now. This ought to encourage you to see, because there's, as I said, power in prayer. Things change, and they change for the good. Don't give up because you're discouraged because you didn't get an instant answer and everything's just all fixed up. Some things get fixed up quick. Some things, you just have to work your way through them. But just keep praying. They can't take that away from you. Your right to call on God, the Creator, and that you can call on Him in a time of need, at any time, any place, and ask, and let these things be known to God. Don't get discouraged because things don't work out on your schedule. Devote yourselves to prayer. The believers in the early church, they did what Jesus told them to do. They got in that upper room and they started praying for the Holy Spirit. 120 of them. Because He told them to. And boom! It happened. And it was really a big day, a big event in the startup of the church age. But these were believers who knew Jesus was resurrected and they were on the cusp of it. The prayers of the Holy Spirit delivers are preconditioned by searching each one. Okay, I give you that. Sorry, I skip my. I do that sometimes. The local church is to pray for their pastor or teacher. I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have survived today without your prayers. And I appreciate them very, very much. Don't give up on this dummy. Keep praying for him. All right? You're to pray for your pastor or teacher. Because without a pastor or teacher, we're all sunk. We've got to have a spiritual leader. A spiritual leader cut out of the same mold as we are, who is communicating divine viewpoint. He has weaknesses. He has things going on just like all of us do. And you need to keep praying for him. And that would be me in my case. You pray for your right pastor teacher. And we'll pick that up tomorrow night. Again, if there's ever, okay, we all know this. If there's ever a problem, we have to call it off. You will be called. If your name or somehow you aren't getting called, let somebody know and we'll get it figured out for you so you'll be able to be told if anything happens. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.